urge this minority of US politicians to stop shirking responsibilities and shifting blame.
China hits back at a threat by the US president to the WHO. This is Wednesday, the 20th of May, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. You are part of this program. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. Also ahead, Donald Trump says he's taking a controversial malaria medication. We explore the government shutdown of one of Philippines' largest broadcasting companies. And in India, they brought in the clowns. It is all on today's VOA Asia. A new war of words is intensifying between the United States and China after Beijing hit back Tuesday at threats made by Donald Trump to withhold funding to the World Health Organization. Reuters' Adam Reed has details.
At a press briefing, spokesman for China's foreign ministry, Zhao Lijiang, criticized American rhetoric.
We urge this minority of U.S. politicians to stop shirking responsibilities and shifting blame, and strengthen its cooperation with the international community to win the battle.
Trump said in a letter on Monday he would reconsider the United States membership of the WHO if the organization did not commit to improvements within 30 days, and said the body had shown a, quote, alarming lack of independence from China. Zhao added that President Trump had underestimated China by trying to avoid responsibility and distract from how the current situation in the United States is being handled.
Among the U.S. president's specific criticisms, Trump said the WHO made repeated claims about the virus that were grossly inaccurate or misleading, that the agency did not properly pressure China for timely admission of international experts, and that it praised China's internal travel restrictions while being against Trump's decision to ban entry to travelers from China. Trump repeatedly praised China in the early months of the outbreak, writing in late January that the United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. In late March, he tweeted, China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus. We are working closely together. Much respect. We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. At least four people are dead, 23 others injured after a strong earthquake struck southwest China late Monday. Australia is considering taking China to the World Trade Organization over Beijing's decision to impose massive tariffs on Australian barley imports. A South Korean professional soccer club has apologized after being accused of putting sex dolls in empty seats during a match Sunday in Seoul. A powerful cyclone moves toward India and Bangladesh as authorities try to evacuate millions while maintaining social distancing. The United Nations calls for an immediate reduction of violence in Afghanistan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. President Trump says he's been taking a malaria drug to protect against the coronavirus, although he has not been shown that he has to fight the virus. AP's Sagar Magani has more.
For weeks, the president pushed hydroxychloroquine as a potential cure for COVID-19 against the advice of top administration medical experts. Now he says he's taking it himself.
Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
And says the White House physician signed off. Dr. Sean Conley says in a statement, after numerous discussions with the president, they concluded the potential benefit of using the drug outweighed the relative risks.
You're not going to get sick or die.
But the Food and Drug Administration warned last month that's exactly what might happen, citing sometimes fatal side effects, in saying hydroxychloroquine should not be used to treat COVID-19 outside of hospital or research settings. Sagar Magani, Washington.
It's easy to get a bit paranoid during these times of pandemic. Real estate agents in the United States say some of their clients are so worried they're looking for a bit of extra security. Licia Bacalet has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
They get installed in backyards or other areas. They are decorated to look like home. And for some homeowners with the money, they're a vital part of any home purchase. bonkers.
I felt safe when I got here. It's just a peace you don't understand. It's so quiet and peaceful here, and the bunker is phenomenal. I mean, when you go in there, it's just like you feel really safe.
Mary and Tom Soulsby own a bunker in South Dakota. What was once a military base is now a field dotted with private bunkers. 2 years ago, all 575 bunkers here were unoccupied. Today, it's hard to find a free one. Most of them are being refurbished to suit the needs of their new owners. The Soulsbys didn't want to wait. They sold their house in Georgia and came here. While they wait for their new home to be done, they live in a trailer nearby.
We were in campgrounds in Georgia until the pandemic started spinning up. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, well, we need to be, because we're because of my age and because of some health compromises that Mary has, we're both high risk. And we decided to exchange 4 million neighbors for, I don't know, 30 neighbors within the same radius out here.
According to bunker seller Robert Vecino of the firm Vivos X Point, the Soulsbys are not the only ones who made this decision after the pandemic hit the U.S.
It's up 2,000%, the inquiries. That means 20 times over what it was. Its sales are up over 400%. And not just that shelter, but other Vivo shelters around the world.
The unprecedented increase in demand is something bunker sellers in Texas noticed as well. And though bunkers won't be able to directly protect people from the coronavirus, they definitely make many feel safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my phone was ringing at least once every 2 or 3 minutes. And people are inquiring about getting a bunker for the future. A lot of people feel that this coronavirus was just kind of like the first step to something bigger that's coming down the road. So they're trying to prepare for what's coming up in the future.
Always be prepared for the worst. That's the motto of the people called preppers. Part of the survivalist movement, they stock up on food and necessities and build shelters.
A lot of the preppers I know, on the discussion boards, they've been saying, look, we weren't the crazy ones. We were right. They kind of feel vindicated a little bit.
Chad Huddleston is an anthropologist who studies the prepper movement. He says buying a bunker is not a bad idea for some, but it's not a realistic way to escape.
It makes you feel safe, but I think, as we've seen in a real pandemic or a real disaster, that your magical plan that you're going to escape to your bunker and be totally safe there to live out the rest of your life or whatever is probably a fantasy.
Tom and Mary Soulsby say they spent about a third of their savings on their bunker. A few more months, and they plan to invite their daughter and grandchildren to come and stay. For Lesia Bokalets in Washington, NRI's VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Tokyo Olympic officials are angry that the game's emblem has been used in the cover design of a local magazine that combines the logo with the coronavirus. Organizers have requested that the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan take down the image. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Australian states are defying calls to reopen internal borders that were shut to stop the spread of COVID-19. But despite the easing of some lockdown restrictions, Western Australia, South Australia, and Queensland say their borders will remain closed because of the coronavirus, that despite the outbreak being contained nationally. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
Australia is the world's sixth largest country. It has six states and two smaller mainland territories. They've all adopted different approaches to counter the threat of COVID-19. Many internal borders were closed to stop the spread of the highly infectious disease. With authorities declaring the outbreak to be mostly contained, there are calls for borders to be reopened. Australia's federal government and its state counterpart in New South Wales say it would help to revive the economy. There are fears for Australia's multi-billion-dollar domestic tourism industry. If people can't travel between different jurisdictions to popular destinations, then businesses will suffer. But Queensland, Western Australia, South Australia and Tasmania have no plans to lift the restrictions. Queensland prides itself on being the nation's warm, sunny vacation getaway, but is still worried about COVID-19 infections. State Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk.
What we know is that there is still community transmission in Victoria and in New South Wales. So as soon as my Chief Health Officer says that I can relax those restrictions, we absolutely will. We want to welcome as many people to the Sunshine State as possible, where it's beautiful one day and perfect the next. But of course, we just can't do that at the moment. We'll review that at the end of each month.
Federal Trade Minister Simon Birmingham said it was imperative that Australians were allowed to move freely across the country when it's safe to do so. There is an expectation that internal border controls will be lifted in the coming months, but international restrictions are likely to stay in place much longer. Australia barred all foreign travellers in March as part of sweeping COVID-19 measures. A major challenge will be to reopen international airports and sea terminals safely, with facilities to screen and monitor arrivals. But the numbers are huge. In 2018, there were 8.5 million international visitors to Australia. Analysts say that any broader reopening of borders might be dependent on an effective treatment or vaccine for the new coronavirus. There have been around 7,000 confirmed cases of the disease in Australia. 100 patients have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The Chinese envoy to the World Health Organization denounces the support shown by the United States and others to Taiwan during its annual ministerial assembly, claiming it was undermining the global response to the pandemic. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. The Chinese government has begun mass testing for the novel coronavirus across the city of Wuhan, which would likely cost more than ₩1 billion, according to Chinese media. Nervous residents of Wuhan queued up across the city to be tested for the coronavirus after a new cluster of cases sparked a mass screening campaign. Lines of socially distanced people formed at makeshift testing sites set up under tents in parking lots, parks, and residential communities as it rained in the metropolis of 11 million people. The new virus contagion emerged in Wuhan late last year, prompting the Chinese government to impose a tight lockdown on the city on January 23rd, isolating the industrial and transport center from the rest of the country and confining residents to their homes. More than 3,800 people have died from COVID-19 in the city, accounting for the vast majority of fatalities in China. Men, women, children, and the elderly filed forward to medical workers in head-to-toe white protective suits and plastic face shields who recorded their personal details before quickly jabbing a swab into the backs of their throats. According to a Reuters report, Wuhan has conducted more than 47,000 tests a day and more than 1.6 million tests in total since it lifted the lockdown 6 weeks ago. Chinese government data show Wuhan tested over 67,000 people on its first day of mass testing last week, the second highest level in the last 3 months. With the Olympics postponed due to the coronavirus, top Japanese fencer Ryo Miyake has swapped his metal mask and foil for a bike and backpack as a Tokyo Uber Eats delivery man. The 29-year-old, who won silver in the team foil at the 2012 London Olympics and was itching to compete in the home games, said the job keeps him in shape physically and mentally and brings in much-needed cash. Miyake said, "I started this for two reasons, to save money for traveling to future competitions and to keep myself in physical shape. I see how much I'm earning on the phone, but the number is not just money for me. It's a score to keep me going." Japanese media have depicted Miyake as a poor amateur struggling to make ends meet, but he himself asked for his three corporate sponsorships to be put on hold, even if that means living off savings. Like most of the world's top athletes, he is in limbo as the virus forces competitions to be canceled and plays havoc with training schedules. After missing out on the Rio 2016 Olympics, Miyake came in 13th in last year's World Fencing Championships, the highest-ranked Japanese fencer at the competition. The International Olympics Committee has set the new date for the Olympics on July 23, 2021. But with no vaccine available, the coronavirus that has killed nearly 300,000 people worldwide, even that hangs in the balance. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
A new study calculates global carbon emissions declined by 17% at the height of the pandemic shutdown. Tuesday's study found the U.S. had sliced its carbon pollution by one-third during a week in April, and China in February cut its emissions by nearly a quarter. Some global emissions levels were the lowest seen since 2006. AP reporter Seth Borenstein has more.
An international team of scientists found that at the peak of lockdown in April, carbon dioxide pollution levels globally dropped about 17%. But they're heading back up in the end of April and into May. For the year, the scientists figure it will be about 4 to 7% less than last year. That's the biggest drop since World War II. But the same scientists say this is like a drop in the bucket with carbon dioxide pollution, which stays in the atmosphere for decades, if not a century. I'm Seth Borenstein.
The sudden shutdown of a 74-year-old Philippine broadcast network marks the Southeast Asian country's second legal action this year against a media outlet that had challenged the president, deepening worries about media freedom. Manila's National Telecommunications Commission ordered May 5th that ABS-CBN quit operating radio and television stations in the capital. That's what the network said on its news website. It says it was further ordered to take four regional stations off the air. ABS-CBN's franchise agreement had expired May 4th during a long shutdown due to the COVID-19 outbreak, despite efforts by the network to get a congressional nod for renewal. The government of President Rodrigo Duterte disputed terms of the renewal. Duterte felt that the network had swindled him by what he described as not airing ads for his 2016 national election campaign. Herbie Gomez is editor of the Gold Star Daily News website.
I think it's terrible. It's one of the biggest TV networks in the country. The shutdown left a void. There are other networks, but ABS-CBN is different. I think what happened was the reporting of the network really angered the president.
The National Telecommunication Commission denied ABS-CBN due process, said Renato Reyes, Secretary General of a Manila-based alliance of leftist political organizations. He especially criticized the timing of the action.
It comes at the worst possible time. There's a pandemic. You're going to create a lot of jobless people. It's the last thing we need, suppression of press freedom.
ABS-CBN had been playing an absolutely crucial role in informing the Philippines' rural audience about the coronavirus spread, said Daniel Bastard, head of the advocacy group Reporters Without Borders' Asia-Pacific desk.
Basically, the way the Duterte administration deals with the media shows that the president's faction just doesn't tolerate independent or critical journalism. And this is a sad reminder of the darkest hours of the Philippines in times of dictatorship.
ABS-CBN was last shut down in 1972 after ex-president Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and resurfaced only in 1986. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings for this report. Despite a century of advances in design, our aircraft still cannot maneuver as well as birds. To better understand bird flight, mechanical engineers at Stanford University built a robotic pigeon using real feathers, paper, and rubber bands, leading to some surprising discoveries. Matt Dibble has the story.
Pigeons, scorned and overlooked by urban dwellers around the world, but not David Lentink.
I just can't wait to see it fly.
Pigeons are actually amazing flyers. They're really underappreciated. They're very strong flyers. They fly in very complex environments. Our cities are actually really complex.
Lentink is a mechanical engineer who studies birds in order to develop better flying robots. As drones and other new forms of aircraft become common in urban environments, there is much to be learned from pigeons.
Aerial robots and drones, like for example the ones that Google and Amazon are developing for delivery, actually struggle flying in those environments, especially because it's also very turbulent and there's wind everywhere. And it turns out that pigeons have no problem with that.
To understand how pigeons do what they do, Lentink's team at Stanford set out to build one.
Every maneuver and every flight phase, there's a different shape that's best, and that's why birds change their shape all the time.
The team discovered that the complex shapes achieved by birds are possible with simple mechanics.
There's this elastic ligament that automatically redistributes the position of all the feathers as the wing moves in and out.
They also discovered what keeps feathers from spreading too far apart, microscopic hooks that work like Velcro.
Okay.
It's amazing how it moves.
PigeonBot could radically change aircraft design. But first it might turn up at your doorstep, carrying a package.
If such a robot would be incredibly soft, like a bird, you would not worry as much about interacting with it.
Call it Carrier Pigeon 2.0. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Two sisters dressed up as clowns are visiting shelters packed with the Indian migrants, trying to bring a moment of levity to poor families stranded in cities where they can no longer afford rent or food. Clowns at this Indian shelter brought migrant workers a brief moment of joy. 34-year-old Sheetal Agarwal is a medical clown and a counselor. She teamed up with her sister to try to make people laugh.
So we're going to cheer them up because we feel that if staying at home we can be so unhappy or so sad and stressed, then their level of stress would be very high considering they're not even with their families or they really are worried about the families back home. So we thought it'll be wonderful if we can bring a smile on their faces and distract them from the pain that they are feeling.
Some 650 workers are taking refuge in this sports complex. They've lost their jobs in the city and they're unable to return to their native villages as transport systems have ground to a halt. Sushila Kumari, a migrant worker and mother of a 9-year-old boy, said, "Despite such circumstance and at such a time, we're feeling a little bit happy. For a brief time, my mind is feeling a little bit free. It's getting diverted and I'm not thinking about my problems. Otherwise, my only thoughts are about going back home, returning home, and I just feel like crying." You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team that includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Popoboom, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a great day ahead.